Commence primary ignition.
I'm just not the hero type, clearly.
What a piece of junk.
Enterprise, this is the captain.
I got a bad feeling about this.
It's all part of the plan.
Engage.
Welcome back to Podcast 2 for 1. I'm your host, Donovan Thompson, with my co-host,
Daniel Wingfield.
And today is episode 193 of Podcast 2 for 1 at youtube.com/2for1studios. Guys, it's the best place to consume all the content. And if you didn't know, listeners, let's be honest, you probably did not. We are sponsored by Kapow Comics, located at 4047 East Kill Avenue in Sherwood, Arkansas. Though they have comic books, collectibles, graphic novels, and of course, special guest appearances throughout the year.
Kapow.
Kapow. Daniel, it's episode 193, and today we are talking The Marvels, which just dropped on Disney Plus. I know that you did not get to go see this in theaters. I believe I saw it twice in theaters. And is this the first MCU movie you've never seen in theaters?
Me?
Yeah, probably not. I'm assuming not. Did you see The Incredible Hulk in theaters?
Yes. Well, actually, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know about that.
I feel like that one you could potentially miss.
That one maybe I missed. Wow. I'm trying to think if there's any others that I didn't see in theaters. Unlikely.
Partly bring up The Incredible Hulk because before The Marvels released, it was the lowest grossing MCU movie back in 2008, I believe.
Yeah.
And now it's 2023 at the time of the release. This is post-Endgame, post-The Marvel, right. Miss Marvels, WandaVision, Captain Marvel, which was a billion-dollar movie that was sandwiched in between Infinity War and Endgame. And
oh, you know what? I don't think I saw the first Captain Marvel in theaters. I think I watched that one at home too.
Gotcha. Yeah, okay.
There's a trend.
Okay. Yeah. I guess so. And so that being said, it's the lowest grossing Marvel movie of all MCU movie of all time.
Right.
But I think it's right at $200 million, which is not even its budget. And so it was, at all intents and purposes, a box office bomb.
Right.
And which is kind of incredible, again, considering the last one made over a billion. There's a lot to unpack here, but first I want to get your, it's also a short MCU movie, but also I want to kind of get your thoughts on The Marvels.
Sure. Yeah. So for me, The Marvels isn't that bad of a movie. You know what I mean? I think when you think of it as saying like it's the box office bomb, it's the lowest grossing. I think I enjoyed The Marvels more than Thor 4. I think I enjoyed The Marvels more than Thor 2. You know, like there's several movies in the MCU that I think I had more fun, I think, at times in the Marvels, or felt like at least The Marvels knew what kind of movie it wanted to be. And I think it stuck the landing pretty well. I think for me, this movie lives and breathes on its chemistry between the characters. That's what makes this movie good. The plot, I could barely even tell you the plot. Okay. And I watched it yesterday. That's how much the plot sucked me in, right? I was just, and I think, you know, and well, I want to get into this in a little bit. Both the Captain Marvel 1 making a billion and this one only making 200 mil, I think are much more symptomatic of the movies around them and the current state of kind of fan engagement with the MCU than it has anything to do with the quality of the movies themselves, right? I think in some ways this movie I enjoyed more than the first Captain Marvel. I thought some of the banter was better. I thought... I actually think it behooved Brie Larson not to be carrying the entire weight of like main character in the movie. She didn't have to kind of be the emotional, you know, focus and the external focus. You know, we kind of got to share that with the other characters. And I think that to me made it more enjoyable than even, you know, Captain Marvel 1. But yeah, overall, I thought the characters worked great together. I laughed out loud a few times at some of the jokes. Actually, I thought Nick Fury again was great. It was nice to have like MCU movie Nick Fury back instead of that like weird ass janky Secret Invasion Nick Fury. And so yeah, there was a lot of things that I enjoyed. And of course the ending was fun and cool, and I'm excited for the, you know, what the end trailer indicates. But yeah, it's not a bad movie. It's not amazing, but it's more than serviceable. I think for one, having a whatever $300 million budget for a movie like this is ridiculous, especially now when you have people like, you know, Godzilla Minus One being made for like 20 mil and looking as good as it did, right? Like,
not even that, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, I do think it's like it's the budget's bloated, but I mean, I think it doesn't deserve to be looked at as like a bad MCU movie. I think, you know, I think it's not great. It's more middle of the pack, maybe middle lower tier, but like still, it's there's stuff to enjoy, and there's parts of it that remind me why I like the MCU, kind of stuff, I guess. So yeah, your thoughts? I'm curious.
Yeah, I think I largely kind of match up with you on this for the most part. I think just going through a couple things. One, I agree, Brie Larson, it behooves her to be surrounded by these other cast members. I think the movie is light. It's fun.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty brisk.
Yeah.
I think it's easier and more digestible, and maybe it's just the runtime than the first movie.
Yes.
And then you're right. I think a lot of this is symptoms being like this come right off of Secret Invasion, correct?
Yeah, and that's part of the reason why I'm like plot wise, I'm like, I can't even try to care because I'm like, I don't even remember what the ramifications of Secret Invasion's ending was. If there were it, you know what I mean? I'm like,
there's really not.
I'm like, how did Nick Fury end? Did he keep his wife, the Krill, out of girl? I mean, like, it's just like I start thinking about that when I start watching this, like, I don't care. And I immediately move on and just, you know,
yeah,
what the movie's doing good.
Well, a couple things. One, I was somewhere earlier, this is this morning actually, and Ben Mendelsohn was talking about he would love to play Dr. Doom. And I was like,
I saw that.
And that'd be great. And I was like, why can't he? And I was like, oh, fuck. He's Talos. And I was like, Yeah. That's right. They've completely wasted him. So I forgot. And like, everyone who has 193 episodes now at this point, they should know how much of a nerd I am on all this stuff. And you are on this stuff. And
and
that tells you something right there. I had like a disconnect for a second of like, why can't he be Dr. Doom? I still think he could potentially, but
also small side note, you know, they did some flashbacks to the first Captain Marvel in this.
Uh-huh.
And I remember, and it was like, oh yeah, fucking Jude Law is in Captain Marvel 1. And he, like, I was thinking Jude Law would be a great Dr. Doom.
Mm.
He would do, like, you know, calculated, thinks he's better than everyone, like, kind of, like, he would do great. But, of course, he was wasted in a one-time role. But
a lot of these actors are, you know.
And maybe they don't want it. Maybe they don't want the MCU lifestyle, and that's just all they're willing to do. But it does feel like, God, Ben Mendelsohn and Jude Law could be, like, a part of this, you know, new phase of MCU. And those are actors I would be excited to see.
For sure. You know? For sure. Yeah. Back to the Marvels.
Right.
I think it doesn't behoove the movie. I think the Disney Plus experiment, I think this is the first real test of that, of like the idea being you're going to watch the shows and then you're going to get the crossover and the movies making a big event sort of thing.
Right.
I think the first stress test was obviously WandaVision leading into Doctor Strange. And we had a lot of problems with that, with Wanda's character and just kind of how that felt. Doctor Strange still made almost $1 billion.
Well, I was going to say it worked in terms of like, I feel like most of the people that watched Doctor Strange had seen WandaVision. It worked in terms of,
that
but going they also, into it, we're caught up. Most people that are going to watch this already have been current to this point.
I think so, but I think also it's Wanda's a character that had been with us since Age of Ultron and Civil War, Infinity War, Endgame. So she was someone that we kind of, I mean, once you're in Endgame, then it's like you're the high, at one point you're the highest grossing of all time. Most people have probably heard of your character, right? And WandaVision was a big thing coming out of Disney, but it was like the first big, like, I mean, again, we talk about it all the time. It was like, it brought back the water cooler talk in a really special way for us.
I miss, you know, again, we have our issues with how WandaVision ended. I miss watching it and talking about it. You know what I mean? Like, I remember like we got halfway through at one point and I just rewatched the show and like was pulling out, like there was just so much to talk about. And it just, it felt like an event in the way that Endgame, Infinity War, these big Marvel movies felt like events. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like when these movies came out, other movies got out of the way. This is all we're going to be talking about for a month after, kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And WandaVision had that same feeling. Even just the production value, the idea value. Like WandaVision was a very...
It was the first.
It's a very deep psychological show that's digging into deep things and kind of playing with really interesting ideas. You know, it's not a safe show. I would say, in a lot of ways. But yeah.
No, you're right. And again, it was the first, right? So at the time, we were unscathed by what the MCU, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah,
we were like, oh, they can do it. They can kind of pull off the quality, but on Disney Plus.
I mean,
we
if
were
they
kind
did
of,
Infinity War and Endgame, they can do anything. Right. I mean,
right.
We were skeptical about that, and then they blew our expectations out of the water. Then it's like,
right.
Yeah.
And so now you have the Marvels, right? And so we're getting some crossover from WandaVision, which we can agree that I think a lot of people watched and liked. But it's just a character that's not, it's a new character that was in the show versus Wanda, who's kind of been around. You could kind of watch Age of Ultron, or you could kind of watch Endgame and then not really watch WandaVision and kind of have some idea. And Doctor Strange, that she's just upset after Endgame. You don't really need all.
Sure.
Honestly,
yeah,
you don't
okay.
need that, right?
I mean, other than her mentioning her kids, that would be the only part you'd be like, what? But yeah, you're right. You're right.
100%.
You'd kind of be on the same page. Yeah.
Right. And so, but now we have Ms. Marvel. And so she is a completely new character, first time debuted on Disney Plus. So you're getting her and Photon. And now you're getting Captain Marvel. And so this is the first time we're kind of, I think, really getting that experiment. And I think largely it's another kind of notch against Marvel is that it just didn't work out in the way that they wanted. Now, Ms. Marvel had good reviews. I think a lot of people really liked it. I think you and me, I liked the first episode a lot.
Yeah.
I think as it went, it got really mixed for me, and I was just not really feeling it by the time it ended, even though I did like her character for the most part.
The characters are good. The plot was bunk. The plot, from what I remember, was just barely stitched together and like just had no real emotion in it. And
I agree.
Well, and just to say, I think you're absolutely right, but to me, the reason... I mean, for one, the reason that so many people watched WandaVision, because it was must-see TV at the time, right? Yeah. And it was good, really good writing. Like, it was just written with such intention and such depth and nuance. You know, Ms. Marvel wasn't. And like, I liked Ms. Marvel as the character. And I actually think she works really well in this movie, again, mirroring Brie Larson, because she's not the focus, because everything doesn't have to revolve around her and this kind of kid-like, you know, character that she is. But in this group, I thought she was fun, and she was a different flavor to each of them pretty distinctively, right? And so I to me, the reason it doesn't work is because you didn't make good enough shows. If you made Ms. Marvel must-see TV, if you wrote it at the level and the level of quality and attention that you put into into WandaVision, everyone watches it, and then everyone's right here ready to go. You know what I mean? Is caught up. And really, even with that one, if you watch the first episode, you pretty much know most of what you need to know for this movie, like, which is just introducing Kamala's family, which I thought they were cute and worked well in the movie. I enjoyed the moments with them for the most part. But yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right in that this is evidence that their approach isn't working, but it's not the idea that was wrong. The idea can work. If you make must-see TV and then you make must-watch movies that are connected, that can work. But you have to put in the quality. It can't just be like, well, you know, if haphazardly doing it, which is, you know, what the MCU has felt like for the last couple of years.
Absolutely. And I think you have all those factors, right, on top of other studios not delivering quality comic book movies.
Right.
MCU taping a dip. Just kind of it's almost like it's cool also to not like superhero stuff at the moment, right? You have
it
Barbie, Oppenheimer coming in and making bank, all these kind of things. Which, hey, I love Oppenheimer. Best movie of last year, in my opinion.
Superhero fatigue is cool right now. But as someone commented on Reddit the other day, they said, it's not superhero fatigue, it's bad writing fatigue. And that's
100%.
Exactly right.
100%. And so let's get into the Marvels now. And I think that's where a good place to jump on is this movie. It felt like we needed this. This is Captain Marvel 3 and not Captain Marvel 2, first of all, for me.
Sure. We needed an in-between movie. So you're saying,
the plot, like you said, you can't even remember the plot, right? It's very bare bones. The villain Darbin is one of the worst villains we've had in the MCU.
It was she was really forgettable.
Very forgettable. And I mean, there's the whole thing about her after Captain Marvel 1 going to fight and destroy the Supreme Intelligence.
Right.
And then now she is dealing with the ramifications of that, which was kind of that was they were kind of setting that up. And
Sure.
I think it you can do that the way they did it in work, but a lot of the movie is trying to talk about one of the themes is like the casualties of war,
Sure.
right? And like
Yeah.
and how war can be, you make tough choices sometimes, like when she's stopping Miss or when Captain Marvel's stopping Miss Marvel. And like, hey, you can't save them all kind of thing. And then here's what
Right.
happens, because there's always going to, you're always going to, even like the US, for example,
Sure.
they're going to stop a terrorist. They're going to end up creating the next generation of terrorists by stopping that terrorist.
Sure.
They're going to kill some kid's dad. And that kid is going to be like, he's not going to be like, oh, thank God the US
Right.
government come killed my dad. He's going to
Right.
become, it's not always the case, but it's a good, you can see the through line, right? That's interesting. I think that they just kind of squandered some of those heavier themes. And on top of that, I just don't know if the arcs or I don't know. I just feel like that no one really grew much. I mean, I know Captain Marvel was
No.
supposed, I mean, she was, you were supposed to be like, she's getting over her guilt of becoming basically a warmonger and she's got this moniker now, but we did. We were told that she had been this
Right,
horrible thing. We
right.
were never. We were shown, but in a really piss poor way. We were shown.
Yeah, absolutely. One, I think this is kind of the, again, I think part, the strength of this movie is the characters and their chemistry. When they're all together, kind of riffing, it works, I think, pretty well. But at the same time, what that can do, if you're not careful, and I think Infinity War is a great example of doing it well. You've really got to choose one character, and they be kind of the emotional core, or their arc, emotional arc be what's guiding us kind of through the story. And I felt like they kind of had several emotional arcs they were trying to do. Because to me, like the arc between Carol and Monica was way more interesting than anything to do with the plot, right? They're kind of like Monica's feeling of being betrayed or feeling left, like with that moment when they're all like synced up and she's seeing those memories, like that stuff was interesting to me. I enjoyed those kind of moments where it's like the interpersonal between them, what's going on, and this, it kind of had to do with like, I guess, like, I guess Carol's kind of wrestling with like the price of saving the universe might be sometimes not being there for your friends, kind of, an idea
Well,
around
for
that,
your
right?
family, for
Yeah,
your family.
exactly. And so, like, that's interesting. But when you're trying to do that and this other thing about like warmonger guilt c type stuff, it's like I think you had to pick one and really stay true to that one. But yeah, so I agree that it didn't do enough to make that arc work. I was more interested in the interpersonal conflict than I was in like Carol's, kind of stuff. And again, listen, I don't want to bag on Brie Larson because I think she is a good actress. I just don't think she's right for this role. I feel like
I agree.
she has this great quirky awkwardness and she can show these little like real subtle emotion, and I think that's great. But like for me, it does not do enough to make me believe in Captain Carol's emotional arc, right? Like she just doesn't, I just don't believe her in a weird way. Like I almost feel like she's faking everything, but that's
Yeah.
not what her character is. She's not doing that. So it's like it's it's that. So like you're trying to carry that arc with Carol, who just doesn't fit for that to me, and then you're trying to do that and this other emotional arc. It gets messy at that point, right? It's just like that's what I'm talking about when we get into the plot and how the themes are connecting. It just gets messy, and I just stop wanting to, like, I don't have the desire to figure this out. This isn't good enough content or story or characters where I'm like, I really got to get this figured out. So I just start like stop. Okay, well, I'm just not going to care about the plot because anytime that happens, I'm lost. I don't really care to get unlost. It's not do, you know what I mean? And so like
Yeah.
it is a weakness of this film in that way. But like I said, I do think that the chemistry works in some ways for it. And also I just want to highlight, like, there's some fun sequences in this movie. I thought they did the action sequences really fun. I loved the musical world. Came out of nowhere, but I loved it. It was so fun. And it was like that was like such a fun, like, for one, we're just doing something that we haven't really seen in the MCU, going to a different part of the universe, just having fun.
It felt kind
It
of
was
Star
awesome.
Trek in that way.
Yeah, and it was fun, kind of, and that part for Brie Larson worked for me. She being this, like, she's resistant to the star power she has, and like, that was fun. And I
You know,
like I
she's
said,
actually a real pop singer in real life. I didn't know this
Brie
until
Larson?
she had a pop song. Yeah, she was a singer. And
Oh.
when I saw it at the kind of like a Flicks Brewhouse kind of thing, where it's like an
Okay.
Alamo,
Yeah.
and they always show like behind the scenes or old stuff that's tied to it. And they played her music video for when she was just starting as like a
Oh,
teen or
wow.
late teenager. And I was like, whoa, and she could sing. She's like a pop star.
Oh, wow.
And
Yeah,
I never knew it, but
and
yeah.
like I said, the beginning sequence of the movie, the kind of first time they're all swapping spaces, that was such a fun sequence. I literally laughed out loud the moment where Monica and Kamala are falling, and they're like about and like she makes that egg thing to like protect them, and then they're right at the beginning, and it switches to Carol, and Nick Fury's like, oh, it's Carol, it's fine. Like right then,
Yeah.
I love like that moment was like, oh, that's classic Nick Fury. I love that, you know?
Yeah, and let's talk about this too. So
Go ahead.
first of all, I think you're right. I think I like Brie Larson as an actress. I think she's very talented. I remember the movie Room she was in, and I thought she did a
Yeah.
great job in that. I think she might have won the Academy Award for it. I can't remember. Definitely nominated if I'm not mistaken. I think her relationship with Monica. It's just, because now when I watch these movies, I watch them also through the, like, I'm watching through two different lenses here. I'm watching
Okay.
it through, like, the MCU fan who has seen everything multiple times, and also, like, trying to also, not trying to, but just, accidentally being like, because Kimberly's right next to me for this one particularly. And I'm like,
Yeah.
how is she knowing what's, like,
Is she completely lost?
how is she feeling? Because I know that Photon is
Right,
from
right, right,
WandaVision,
right.
and who's also from, and then her mom's in, it's like, and then also her mom's also in Doctor Strange as a variant.
Right.
Like, I know all these things, but I'm like, as I'm watching it through two different lenses at the
I
same
forgot she
time.
was in Doctor Strange as a variant. Was she
Yeah.
playing the same type, like the same superhero variant, like Binary? Was that her name?
No, she was playing Captain Marvel.
Oh, she was that universe is Captain Marvel. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And so, I'm watching that lens too, and just the way they kind of set it's just weird. Also, like, they're in space in the beginning, and she's like, "Oh, Captain Marvel's on the other line," and she's like, "I don't want to talk to her." And it's just like,
Yeah.
what a awkward way of writing that scenario to me.
The beginning
Just
was
the
clunky. I agree.
it's just kind of weird, I mean, it's just
Yeah.
like, wouldn't you? So, like, Brie Larson has been kind of around. And also just little things like sword, like that's now that's Shield, right? It's the new Shield, and it's like we don't
Sure.
really have any basis of what sword is. Like we know that they were
Right.
kind of mentioned in WandaVision, they were in something else at some other thing too. Maybe it was Secret Invasion. I don't know. Of course, this was supposed to come out before Secret Invasion, which is why Nick Fury doesn't have his wife in this one. But even if he did have his wife. I get it's a comedy now, and the part of the genius of
Right.
the MCU is that you can kind of sit there and kind of go between genres. So, but this is supposed to be the Nick Fury that's when they shot it, that's after Endgame,
Okay.
right? Or after No Way Home, or after
Yeah.
Far From Home, right? He's in the space station. Talos is
Right.
on Earth as him, and
Right.
he's sitting there cracking. I mean, which is kind of fine.
Yeah.
It makes a little more sense, actually, now that they put it after Secret Invasion, because it's kind of he went through this gauntlet kind of thing,
Right.
and so he's kind of like breathing a little bit,
Sure.
but even then, that show is so terrible, I'm not sure what Nick Fury learned.
The best thing that MCU could do is try to just forget that the Secret Invasion happened and like drop every plot thread that can have to do with it. Because every time I'm reminded about it, again, I'm like seeing Krill and I'm like, fuck. That was show was so bad. Like that's my first thought when I see these characters that remind me of that show. You know
Yeah.
what I mean?
Well,
Like, yeah.
just even like talking about sword real quick, I guess they're like populated by humans and also other alien species that, because it's fun, the dad talking about Roth IRA, those kind of things. I thought that was fun, like that
Sure.
dynamic. But like you're talking to these people who are sword. And also, I think a part of it for me, Daniel, is that things are just not as cool as they used to be.
Yeah.
I mean, you go back and I've kind of rewatched some stuff from Iron Man 1, Iron Man 2, and some of the other stuff. I'm like, man, Shield was cool. Like,
Yeah.
Agent Phil Coulson was cool.
It was
And now,
secretive and like powerful and smart and always thinking two steps ahead of everyone. Yeah,
And now
absolutely.
things are just not as cool as they used to be. Like, they're just
Yeah,
not.
I mean, again, I think to me that's just it's the writing. It's not even the, and I'm not even saying like the dialogue. I'm saying the idea writing. What's going to happen
Yeah.
in this scene? We're just not picking the coolest idea in the room. That has been my feeling for the past few years. We're picking the most budget friendly or the one
It's
that checks the
definitely not
most
budget friendly.
boxes. Well, okay,
Yeah.
fair. The ones that set check some arbitrary boxes that some producer had. I don't know what it is,
Which, yeah, like, hey,
but
the cat thing, like, the sequence of the cat
that was
was
fun.
fun and inventive,
I,
but,
yes, that
but
when they're chasing the people and eating them,
yeah,
that was
it's
so,
fun,
that reminded me a bit of old MCU, just in terms of like, I never would have seen that coming. That's a
it
really fun idea.
does.
And again, what the fun is, you get to have a horror sequence with like happy music in the middle of a comedy. And it's like a legit horror scene. If you just put that sequence of different music, it's scary. You know what I mean? I think
Sure.
that's fun.
I think my only complaint with that, and this is a complaint with all MCU, this is a complaint with every sequel ever.
Yeah.
The reason why that's in the movie, right, is because the cat was in the first movie,
Right.
and the cat had memes made about
It was
it.
a
It
fan
had
favorite.
its own personal poster.
Yeah.
Marvel does that, and Disney does that. Like, oh, here's that character, here's its own personal poster,
Right.
right?
Right.
And so it's like, do we like how is it fun? Sure. And maybe we need some fun in there. But how does that service the
Sure.
story or the larger MCU? And I'm
Yeah.
like, we don't need the cat to return for a sequel. Maybe
Sure.
make something else or new or
At
special.
least
It's
not in
like,
that big of a role.
no, it's like having, I don't think you've seen Deadpool 2 yet, correct?
No.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about Deadpool 3 here shortly, which
Yes.
I'm excited to talk about more than
Yes.
this. There's a character called Depender who's in Deadpool 1, right? He's the taxi cab driver. He's also in Deadpool 2. And then he also, from the trailers, in Deadpool 3. And I'm like, look, he was a fun character. Their dynamic is
Sure.
fun. But do we need to have that kind of continuity from movie to movie to movie? Like,
Yeah.
is this character is more important than another important Marvel character? We can't
Yeah.
have, what I'm saying? Like, I
I
just
mean,
don't
those
understand
sometimes
that.
feel like data-driven decisions. Like someone
They
says, hey, this
are it
character had this many posts made about them, had this much organic,
100%,
discussion. So whoever's writing this movie, this character is required to be involved, kind of thing.
and that's why the cat scene was made. The
Yeah.
cat scene,
Right. Sure.
that's my point. And so it's like, I just, again, it's fun sequence. I love the Pinder and Deadpool. I like him. He's a good
Yeah.
character, but it just feels like you said earlier, the best decision is not always winning, and they're afraid to take
Yeah.
even more risk,
Yeah.
And hey, I
Yeah.
think the fight scenes, the light switching, I think it's pretty inventive. I thought the choreography was pretty well made.
It
I
was.
like the end when they're all three teaming up and they kind of got their group, Stella got their
Yes.
group back. They
Yes.
kind of, I
Yeah.
like that.
Reminded me
It's
of
cool.
Spider-Man No Way Home a little bit.
It's
Like
cool.
when they're
And
teaming up at the end, yeah.
I also understand Captain Marvel is so powerful that
Sure. Yeah.
you have to kind of do something to kind of take her powers away.
Right.
But then, it's like this, there's a lot I'm going to forget about this movie in terms of its plot,
Right.
because
Yeah.
and I want to get to the after credit scene real quick, both of them. But like, oh, Captain Marvel, the sun's going now on this planet, and so she could have reignited the entire time. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
Yeah. Yeah.
and she could have saved all these people from poverty, and
Right.
I don't know,
It
just
just it
it's just stuff like that. And like,
yeah.
this movie does nothing for the universe, and
No.
they don't
Well,
always have
it does
to,
one thing and it's the end credit scene. Like that's the only thing it does that contributes to the wider universe.
which is the most lazy type of storytelling, when the scenes after your credits start do more for the universe than anything. And
Sure.
hey, not every movie needs to be about
Yes.
the MCU,
Guardians of the
but
Galaxy movies are great, and they are often siloed in their own little pocket of the universe, and they have things that trickle into the other universes, but they're not directly, sequential to the other stuff that's happening. Yeah.
You feel their influence in the Marvels with the warp gates. Like,
Absolutely.
that was started
Absolutely.
in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Which
That carried over
I
to
love that look, just design wise. I think
yeah
that's a really fun way to do space
It's very
jumping,
cool.
whatever.
It's cool, but and you know this, and we'll tell it for our listeners. But the reason why those Guardians movies work is because we care about the characters and the journey they're
Yes.
going on. We don't. I don't care at all about the Miss Marvel.
No.
I
I care
like
about
Photon a
Monica the
lot.
most. Monica's
I
the
like
most
Monica
liked
a lot.
character.
I think so too, but
And
I
she had
don't
the
care.
most like her mom like appearing, dipping into the after credit scene, like coming to another universe with her mo dead mom there, but that's like younger. I think that's the most emotionally compelling thing that kind of happens in the movie in terms of like, oh, I'm kind of empathizing with this character right now, kind of
Yeah.
moment. You know what
Well,
I mean?
it's very reminiscent of a story we've been talking about lately too. You know, the one, the rerun.
Oh yes, yes, yes,
You
yes, yeah,
know,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely,
it's that
absolutely.
same kind of idea,
Yeah.
right? And so I think, yeah, that is fascinating, but like, okay, touch upon that. So they do like the thing where they're all mind melding basically, right?
Right.
And she starts going into her memories and seeing, and like
And
that's
that
the
was
that's
mostly for exposition to catch people up too,
It
you know?
was, but that right there was also the meat of their conflict,
Yes.
and they show it in a poor way. They don't address it. I mean, if you were really ballsy, you would have made the movie just from Photon's
Yeah.
perspective and
Yeah.
had her go on this journey and make Captain Marvel feel like
Right.
she is like this other entity that is hard to connect to. And then, you know, I
Sure.
mean, I don't know. I mean,
Yeah, no, I agree.
there's a thousand ways to do it, but I'm just saying, like, the way they did it in this movie, while it's fun, it's brisk. It's not it, it there's a reason why it
Yeah.
made $200 million at the box office,
Yeah.
and there's also a lot of other reasons that why it made that much money. But as you said earlier, it's not superhero fatigue, it is piss poor quality fatigue. That's the
Yes.
problem.
Well, and I would just want to say, to me, the reason Captain Marvel 1 made $1 billion is because of the movie that came out right before it and right after it.
I mean, it definitely didn't
Infinity
hurt
War and
100%.
Endgame. I mean that is the re I mean you watch Infinity War and you are just salivating for anything else they put out. Like, I mean, it blows our expectations out of the water. It's such a risk. We just kill a bunch of fan favorites. We watch Peter Parker disintegrate in Tony Stark's hands, I still remember people in the theater thinking that was the end. Like, they didn't know there was a sequel and just being pissed. Like, that's a risk. Like, you had to fight certain people probably to make that happen because they're like, well, we don't want to. But you're right. Like, in the hype has never been bigger than in between Infinity War and Endgame, I think, for the MCU. And also the hype was delivered upon. Like, our expectations were met in Endgame, right? And so like
Okay,
you have this new character, Captain Marvel, sandwiched right in between the most popular MCU movies of all time. Of course it's gonna do well because we're all just dying for Endgame. So any way we can tiptoe back into that universe in between is like heaven, even if the movie isn't stellar. Going back and then, the end scene watching Fury and what's her name disappear, you know what I mean? It's like, or I guess she disappears, not Fury. No, he does. They both
No,
blow. I mean, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
he drops the signal
Yes,
for Captain
that.
Marvel to come. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah, like even just that little taste of Endgame Infinity War, we're just like blowing our minds. You know what I mean? But it was because of Infinity War and Endgame. It really didn't have to do with Captain Marvel that much at all. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
it
It
was
was
those
the
gang movies that
it
were like
yeah.
cultural milestones. You know what I
Yeah.
mean?
You know, there's a, I largely agree. Obviously, there's other things like it was the first female-driven superhero film
Sure.
from the MCU. Little things like that, and you know, a lot of people really stand by that film and really like it. I think it's kind of like this one where it's I enjoy the plot more because I think it's a
Yeah.
more well-constructed plot, and I like seeing Nick Fury at that time of his life and Agent
Yeah.
Coulson.
Yeah.
I think she's hard to connect to again. Part of that is the plot because she's kind of designed to be hard to
Yeah.
connect to. But you know, anyway, I think Captain Marvel is the better movie. I
Yeah.
think the Marvels might
Yeah.
be more fun because and maybe that's just
Yeah.
because it's more recent.
Well, it's interesting. I think Captain Marvel has the better plot. And then
Definitely.
that and that Captain then the Marvels have much more enjoyable characters and easier to connect to protagonists. And again, I'm mostly talking about Kamala and Monica. I'm not
Yeah.
really talking about Brie at all. I'm talking about the other two-thirds of the protagonist. But going back to just, again, to me, this movie is a perfect example of where we are with the MCU right now. Interest is at an all-time low. It's more cool to not like the MCU than it is to like it. You know what I mean? Like that I'm not so worried. I mean, idiots on the internet think the world is flat. So I don't care what idiots on the internet think. But I'm saying that it doesn't matter what their opinion, but their opinion is an indication of the kind of state that the MCU is in at a cultural level. And I think you're right that Disney for the last 2 years has been trying to make the least amount of risks with the most amount of profitability. That seems to be guiding. How can we make the most money and risk the least about, like, the risk the least in getting that money? You know what I mean? And that's why I think you get these just kind of pedestrian outputs of like, man, they just didn't really put the effort in. Well, they did in a way of like trying to make it make money by being meme worthy or, you know, twerking with Cardi B or whatever they were, you know, trying to do. Like that'll get hits. That'll get people posting organically on the internet. That'll get us, you know, free marketing and stuff. But it's also just like, you know, you're degrading the quality of your own product at the same time. I don't know. All that to say, man, is, you know, we know, you know, Bob Iger just recently was quoted about saying, you know, we're pulling back on the quantity and trying to focus on the quality. That's nice to hear. We'll see if they can do it. You know what I mean? I mean, they did it once and surely they can. I do believe the MCU can reach Infinity War Endgame hype again. I don't know if it will, but I believe it can. And so now we're just kind of in this. We're in this waiting game of like, you know, what's the next? I mean, Deadpool 3, which all indications seem to be that will be good. You know what I mean? I don't think many people are worried about Deadpool 3 not being a good time.
Well, trailer, real quick,
the pegging joke.
Before we get into Deadpool Disney, 3, yeah, okay. Because I do want to talk about our Lord and Savior Deadpool here in a second.
Yes.
I want to talk about the two after credit scenes in the Marvels. One being the new Avengers. So they've had rumors for a long time that we're going to have Kate Bishop and then now Miss Marvel and potentially one of Wanda's kids from some other place, whatever. You know, however they're going to do that, I don't know. But the idea being a new Avengers, right? And so, you know, it's fine. I like Kate Bishop more than I like Miss Marvel.
Sure.
But also it just kind of feels, I don't know, is it cool? I don't know.
It worked okay for me because it almost makes sense for Kamala to be doing this, for one, because she's like not doing it with anyone's blessing. She's just kind of doing it because she's such a fan of the Avengers. She just wants to be in her own little version of them. And sure. So like I'm like, okay, that works for me a bit, and it's kind of cute. And I do think there is a way to use them well. I don't think they need their own movie, but I think they will get one. But I do think they could be like a fun little team that pops up in the next Secret Wars or whatever, like kind of the next big giant team up movie. Could they have a little moment a la the Ladies of Marvel in Endgame when they're all, you know, walking out to do that girl power scene? Yeah, that could work. I could see that, and it could be cute and funny.
The Ladies of Marvel.
You know what I'm saying, though?
I know what you're saying.
The idea at a surface level is cute and can be fun and can be kind of, like, I think funny. But I worry they're going to just overuse it because they're just trying to appeal to younger audiences, but they're not going to do it right. But yeah.
I'm very concerned about it. Just rule of thumb for me, I'm never a fan of child superheroes.
Sure.
It's always just, even as a kid, it was a cool factor thing for me. And before everyone's like, but Spider-Man's a kid. I'm like, no, Spider-Man was a kid for like 5 years in the comics out of his 60 year history.
Right. He's mostly in college.
And for everyone to be like, he's a kid. I'm like, no, he wasn't. Like, stop. You know,
and also he was in college in like the 80s when like people in college in the 80s were like what people are equivalent to 40 now in
terms 100%.
Of like maturity and like
their
state of like where they are in life. So he was always someone you looked up to even like when you were reading, because he seemed like, you know, he's 100%. Older, he's cooler, he's Spider-Man.
Yeah, 100%. And so, you know, for me, it's always just a breaking past that cool factor. Obviously, there's examples where I'm like, oh, that's cool, that's fine. And if they do it correctly, it's just hard to pull that one off for me personally.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's good. I obviously the box office, Bob Iger coming back, all these things are going to kind of shape some of these upcoming decisions. And I think just to give them a little bit of leeway, I think the Marvels might be the last pandemic production. I think Secret Invasion technically was, but it came out beforehand. And
Sure.
now Deadpool 3 has been hit with the writer and the actor strike.
Right.
But I like to think that the production on the set wasn't, you weren't constrained by, it's different making a movie like with like handcuffs versus just not making your movie. Those are
Well, they
different.
had to pause for a while. They didn't have to make their movie under,
Right.
very strict and limiting circumstances.
Yes, and that's that. I'm hoping that's the difference. So let's last after credit sequence, and we'll wrap this up, and then we'll talk about. I mean, we'll talk about Deadpool 3, wrap it up. Is obviously probably the thing that got me most excited. Probably got anyone most excited in the MCU is the revelation that Monica Rambeau is now in an alternate universe. We don't know if it is the prime X-Men timeline of like the X-Men 1, 2, and 3, all those. But we do see. I can't think of his name now. Brendan, or not Brendan Fraser, but Fraser. What's his name in real life? Holy crap. Oh, Kelsey
Kelsey
Grammer.
Grammer,
So Kelsey Grammer at come back as Beast in a more accurate comic book kind of Hulk version of Beast. And that's awesome. Like, I mean, that tickled me. We got Binary, which is I guess a mutant version of her character. And that's all, that's fun. It's like, okay, here's the X-Men. Like, we're gonna do it, which kind of makes sense too. Just I accidentally that n now we're going to lead into Deadpool 3. But I think that's a fun sequence, and I'm excited for more of that kind of stuff. But yeah,
It was just fun being inside the X mansion again,
it's
just seeing the
cool. It's cool
giant
seeing the
X on the
X.
door.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It is. I mean, it is. I mean, it makes you more excited for Deadpool 3, which we're about to, get into, which is the real, seems like the first real step in terms of combining the universes.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I mean, you're right. It was the best part of, in terms of the universe. That's the most interesting thing the movie does. And so, but yeah, I mean, I'm very excited. Let's get into Deadpool 3, because I think that's what it leads us to.
Well,
It's
I think a big thing too is to kind of talk about we're talking about this superhero fatigue, right?
right.
And the thing is, Deadpool 24 hours is the most watched trailer of all time in 24
Right.
hours. So how do you explain like what superhero
It's
fatigue
not.
then?
It's again. It's it.
Right.
We're fatigued by mediocre action adventure movies that don't know what they want to be and have terrible character development. Like,
Correct.
for one, Deadpool is not your typical MCU movie. It is just
No.
different. It's friends.
It's
It's
the
meta.
first
It's a true,
R-rated.
true comedy. You know what I mean? Like, it's an action comedy more than anything other genre. I mean, I absolutely loved the pegging joke. I mean,
Dude.
and for Disney, you know what I mean? Like, I was like,
Dude, I think this trailer is so good. And
it is.
it's funny because like if this had come out 3 years ago, I think it would be universal, but even on my regular websites, there seems to be some resistance. And I'm like, but we watched the same trailer, and like I've seen 3 years ago trailers, and like this to me, how can you not be excited by this idea?
I mean, it just and I think to me what the trailer revealed to me was, it's good old Deadpool. The writing's, back, the quippy, sharp dialogue. Like, it is still itself. It's not trying to be MCU Deadpool, right? Like, that's encouraging.
It's cool. The fight scenes look cool.
And just the idea, I mean, we're seeing him fight next to the buried 20th Century Fox logo. I mean, like, you know
That's
what I
the
mean?
see to me, that's the kind of stuff where I'm watching Infinity War and Endgame, and I'm like, in the moment, I'm like, I couldn't think of something better, or I never would have thought of that, which makes me feel shameful. I never would have thought about having the 20th Century Fox
And
logo.
it makes complete sense because of who Deadpool, he's this
It
he
makes
is
total
the meta
sense.
character. He is, like, when people think of meta characters, Deadpool's one of the first ones to the top of the list, right?
Right.
And so it makes complete sense to not only be blending the X-Men universe and the Marvel universe, but also just the real universe. I think that's just, again, it fits Deadpool. It's smart and like kind of like it's a unique idea. It's not something we've ever done in superhero movies before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think, it in some ways this movie feels like it will be literally about Deadpool trying to combine the MCU and Fox universe, or like save the Fox characters from the death of their universe or whatever. And I just think that's That's amazing. It makes Deadpool feel like a fan of, you know, you really identify me. Like, yeah, that's what I would do if I was Deadpool. I would be trying to bring all my favorite characters into this other universe. I'm pumped. I can't wait. I'm gonna rewatch Deadpool 1 and watch Deadpool 2 very soon.
Me too.
Just to be prepped for it. But
I'm gonna make Kimley watch Deadpool 1, then Logan, then Deadpool 2. That's what I'm gonna make her do.
Ooh, that's a
she doesn't know yet.
Does Logan come out before Deadpool 2 chronologically?
It does.
Okay. But there's no connections.
There is.
To Deadpool
small connection.
2 and Logan? Like in the movie Deadpool 2, it connects to Logan?
I would say so, yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's the one I've seen.
Yeah, it's wild. You've never seen it, yeah.
I know. It's a weird blank
It's
spot.
Small connections, but it's one of those things where it's like, you need to see Logan so you understand this.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Which is fine. It's also cool. Just,
I mean, I just can't. I just haven't watched Logan in a while, and that's still
I think since we watched it, I think.
Top 3, top 5 all-time movies for me.
It's so good.
I've seen it. I've watched it at home a couple times, like at least once.
Oh, since we watched it?
In the theater?
No, since our podcast.
Oh, yeah, maybe that was though. Yeah,
I think that was my last time I watched it. Yeah,
that was probably
2 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, it's such just to remind myself, that's one of the best superhero movies of all time. And it's
funny how things come back because this trailer, we're getting this meme now of like young Logan walking down the stairs. And then, like, old Logan looking at him, and like, you know, like everyone's in this meme, like, when my brother comes down after shaving and has a bigger beard, than, like, you know, just like that. It's like, I love how the internet, like, regurgitates things and, like, brings things back into the light. So,
absolutely.
Real quick, here's the thing, too, is like, sometimes they get it right and sometimes they don't. Although I love Mobius and I love a lot of aspects of the TVA, which, first of all, it's odd that Mobius isn't in this, but if I could have a character to replace it, Matthew McFadden is a perfect TVA agent guy.
Absolutely. And I'm wondering, what did Mobius, I guess he's still in the TVA at the end of Loki 2, right?
He's still solving Kang problems,
That's right. Yeah, but, so maybe that, I mean, they can do that, but yeah, absolutely. Like Matthew McFadden
is what a great.
Also, it's so weird just him speaking in a British accent again.
Sure, yeah.
Which is also much closer to his, like, when you hear him actually speak, like, his Tom Wamsgabin voice is so well done. Because you're like, you sound nothing like that character in real life. At all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right, yeah. Yeah, yeah, no, he's great. And I think his type of humor is going to match with Deadpool, obviously, incredibly well.
Oh, man, yes.
But here's the thing, too, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people think I'm stupid for saying this, but when you look at the TVA in Deadpool 3, and then you look at the TVA in Loki, Deadpool, it's like the movie, like, it's TVA looks way cooler in Deadpool 3. Sure. Like their outfits, it looks more like an actual organization versus, you know, if I always kind of had a problem with like the Disney Plus stuff, it feeling too small, like things felt, too small, but it was just this, and there's some COVID, great cinematography, you know, maybe, but just like even just the casting, it was just kind of like, that's a TV agent, you know, like, oh, that person is, that person's working there. And I get part of the idea is that they're variants.
I agree.
Yeah. But you look at Deadpool 3 and you're like, I mean, there's like some, not memes, but like screenshots are like, they're putting them next to each other. And you're like, that looks cool. Like that looks like.
Yeah,
the movie version of the TVA almost, you know?
Right, yeah.
Anyway, so it brings me hope. Fun little side things, obviously, is, there's something that I can't talk about because you haven't seen Deadpool 2. It'll kind of spoil some things for you.
Okay.
But one of the big cool things is Secret Wars. There's the comic on the bottom left of the screen.
I saw that.
That it is from the newer issue, the newer crossover of Secret Wars. And that issue particularly is Dr. Doom's face. So, but it's like carved out though, like in the movie,
it's like the page is carved out.
The page is scratched up or whatever missing. So that's a cool.
Do you think there's a chance we get introduced to Dr. Doom in Deadpool 3?
I don't. Maybe Fantastic Four, Dr. Doom from like the Fox movies. We know Elektra's going to be in this. I think maybe that, maybe, but I think more importantly, it's just teeing up Secret Wars. And then more importantly, is that this is probably one of the, if we say this every time, it feels like they should have done this earlier, but this is the first, I think, true step, and I could be wrong again, to Secret Wars. Like this is there's no universe to me where Deadpool and Wolverine are not in Secret Wars. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That alone is exciting, you know? So, and you know, like at least Deadpool will be in part of Secret Wars, but Deadpool, you know, Hugh Jackman will come back for that. You know,
Exactly.
Tobey Maguire. Can you see Tobey
Tony
and Hugh
Stark.
together?
No,
And Tony.
I want Tony Stark and Deadpool like going back and forth on like a insult battle.
My
Like, you know,
goodness.
like wouldn't
Can you
that be amazing?
imagine?
Like, I know, like who's this guy? You know, it would be like him and Doctor Strange, but times 20, because Deadpool's even, you know, himself. Like, I
What do I
honestly,
do?
Doctor Strange, Tony Stark, and Deadpool in the same room going round and round with like quippy insults. I need that scene at some point, even if it's 30 seconds long.
And yeah, can you
That sounds
imagine though,
great.
like having, I mean,
Invite, we get a
it
Tom
feels
Holland
too.
getting Spider-Man and Deadpool like teaming up for a sequence, and like they're a classic pairing. You know what I
They
mean? And like,
are. Yeah, Spider-Man and everybody works,
and
but
they're so
yeah.
quippy too. You know, they're both similarly quippy and like making jokes while they fight,
Yeah.
kind of thing. Like, that would work so well.
The possibilities feel endless, and you just hope that I can also see Secret Wars being broken up into becoming two parts, and they kind of
I would almost be surprised if it isn't.
get rid of, I mean, get rid of Kang Dynasty and just be Secret Wars Part One, Secret Wars
Oh,
Part Two.
okay. Yeah.
I can see that
Yeah.
happening.
I could. I mean, at this point, like, you know, in some ways, you know, there's obviously the still rumors of the recasting of Kang, but almost it feels like, does anyone that into Kang anymore? Like, I mean, if they tell me good stories. I don't care what they are. If you're telling me good stories, I don't care who the bag, whatever the characters are in it. But at the same
Hey,
time, like it's like
it's
with
super
everything
easy
that's
to
happened,
pivot.
and just kind of you get to just leave even like the idea of Jonathan Majors behind, because like there isn't this talking point about who used to be Kang. You know what I mean? At a continuity level of making the universe make sense, it is like, oof, that sounds like a bad decision, maybe. Like, how do we not, you know, how do
I
we do it in
didn't
a way that the
well.
universe still feels like we're just pretending that didn't happen,
Well, I
kind of
mean,
thing, you know?
I didn't personally take it this way because I don't think this is correct.
Sure.
But there is a version of Loki where you're like, oh, now that he done this, the TVA is just cleaning up the rest of the Kangs, right? Like that is their job. That's part of their job. I don't take it that way. I take it more literal. Like what Loki did created the prospect of all the Kangs again, which leads to Ant-Man, which leads to the Kang Dynasty. But there's a version where you just say, oh, we have a throwaway line from Deadpool or from Matthew McFadden, or his name is Paradox in the movie. And he's like, oh, yeah, we're taking care of the King situation, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a version where
Sure.
that exists. But I don't know. I think, again, Fantastic Four, we're going to get a casting announcement very soon. SAG-AFTRA even accidentally basically leaked that Pedro Pascal's Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah.
And
Well,
we
that's
pretty
kind of
much
been an open secret for a little bit.
it is. We kind of know our four, it feels like.
Yeah.
And you have Doctor Doom. He may just be a little bit in that. But again, Thanos was you needed 5 minutes with him in Infinity War, the first 5 minutes.
Right.
And what you really do is you just bring back the guys who wrote Infinity War and Endgame, which they also wrote the Captain America movies, and be like, hey, make Dr. Doom a badass first 5 minutes and let's get the party going. And that's all you got to do, you know?
You're right. And like I said, you know, I think at first when we kind of talked about the idea of recasting or moving on, I was kind of in the boat of recasting Kang. But like when you're starting to give me X-Men and we're starting to get into like that stuff, it's like, okay, I don't care about Kang anymore. I just want to get to the juicy good stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I
There,
want to
the,
get to
hey.
to me, the potential of X-Men, you know, secret the potential of the Secret Wars arc feels like it has the potential to mirror or match Endgame Infinity War if they do it right. I don't necessarily feel that way about the Kang arc, especially now,
Yeah,
you know.
it was the Kang was just a different road to Secret Wars. That's all it was.
Sure. Right. Yeah.
Kang was just to break the universe apart for Doctor Doom to come in, or the Beyond, or
Yeah.
whoever, to make Battle World. That's all it was.
Right. Right. Right.
And if you just take out Kang and make it just all Doctor Doom, that's fine too. You know, again, I'm with you. I originally wish they recast it, but I think part of me also says, well, I would rather have two movies about Secret Wars with Wolverine and Deadpool and Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire for two movies, than
Right.
have the original the Avengers, the new Avengers in Kang Dynasty, and then have them disintegrate or get blown away in different multiverse, and then having the new multiverse team. I'd rather just have the new multiverse team, I think. Because I don't think if here's a this last thing I'll say, really last thing I'll say is, we haven't had that team up movie with the new Avengers. We don't know who the Avengers are. And
Yeah, we know a couple.
we know a couple, but I mean, like, we don't know the team, right? And like Brave New World will kind of do some to kind of fix that. Thunderbolts will do some to kind of fix that. But it's okay to, we don't have to have this team is not going to stick because we know, because what's the prospect of Hugh Jackman and Robert Downey Jr. and Tobey Maguire? Like, you don't care. You don't care about this new team. Save them. Save them for phase seven, whatever it is, new X-Men, whatever. But let's just kind of wrap up this multiverse thing, but let's just focus on the legacy characters and X-Men and Deadpool and all these guys.
And
And
I agree with you. I think it would behoove them to wrap up the multiverse arc
100%.
sooner than later. I think the idea of multiverses at this point are pretty overplayed. Everyone's doing one.
Dude,
And
everywhere.
so I think, it's a great idea. And like I do think, especially with WandaVision, MCU was kind of introducing multiple universes into the mainstream thought, whereas one of the earlier ones, kind of doing that, right? Earlier properties,
Yeah, I mean, they had
at least in the modern kind of like the current surge of it. But then it's like literally every other comic or non-comic thing is
Dude,
multiverse,
it's crazy. I think it was just it's went on too long. That's the big problem. I think that
I
it's
mean,
just that.
I at the end of the day, I think everything everywhere all at once kind of came in and perfected it in like a just bite-sized multiversal bite. And then
Sure.
like, it's hard to like in some ways, it feel like everything after that kind of jumped the shark on it.
Yeah, I think you're right. They should have had half as many movies and shows. And just kind of did a fun legacy phase where like they introduce one or two new characters and then kind of bring back the Fox Men and blow up all back up and re you know and semi reboot whatever it is. But that's where we're at. I feel like things will, I think Deadpool again, I gotta ask you this. I gotta ask you, I'm sorry,
Okay,
Daniel.
you're good.
Is do you think the line of like basically I'm Marvel Jesus? Like, it seems like Deadpool is saving the MCU in a way, like in the movie or saving the Fox universe. Do you think like Marvel threw that kind of joke in there because it's like they're aware that they're not doing this hot? Or do you think it was just kind of like, I mean, I don't know. Do you it,
I would
people?
imagine that line was in the script before, I don't know, for a while.
I agree, right?
I mean, I think it's the kind of joke that Deadpool would make, for one. It's a sacrilegious kind of taboo joke, right? That's
Right.
gonna ruffle feathers. That's Deadpool to a T. And I mean, in some ways, even if the MCU was tanking, he would be kind of the Jesus for the Fox characters, right? He's coming to
Right.
save them from hell or just, non-existence. So I don't know. I mean, I think it works at a meta level at this moment because of the state of the MCU, whether they intended it to be that commentary or not. It just has that meaning
Yeah,
to it
that's how I
now,
feel about it.
you
Is
know.
it's this coincidence kind of.
Probably. It's this weird thing again where like Deadpool is so not a Disney movie. Just like
No.
it's so everything they don't do. Almost like it's not family friendly, pointedly not family friendly. It's not safe. It's trying to make everyone mad or ruffle every feather it can, all these things. And so it's like it is this weird thing of like I'm just like it's just interesting. How much is Disney gonna mar I mean, they're obviously gonna market it like crazy, but like it's such a weird step for them that I'm a fan
Whoa,
of, but that
dude.
still is like, yeah, such a
I'm not
thing.
sure, not to cut you off, but we just got our Fantastic Four announcement.
With the
And so
cast.
it's Pedro
Wow.
Pascal as Mr. Fantastic, Vanessa Kirby as Miss Invisible, and
That
Eben
was
Moss
always
Bacharach
expected.
as The Thing, and Joseph Quinn as Johnny Storm.
Joseph Quinn.
The rocker dude in Stranger Things, dude.
Oh
He's
shit.
Eddie.
Great
He's Ed.
casting.
Dude, so good.
Fantastic. That's where I'm like, yeah, we
It
need
is
more of these awesome
fantastic.
Stranger Things guys into it. Oh
Yeah,
man,
that's been
he
kind
would
of.
be such, I mean, he's like, that's such a like even from his character he was in Stranger Things, that's such a natural step in his
he's gonna be so good, know. Dude. Yeah, look at that. Officially announces, and they got even like wow. a little cool little
the Valentine's Day thing.
Valentine's yeah. thing, that's which cute. Looks very 60s. It looks like they're gonna be in the 60s and time travel.
Who's the astronaut?
That's the thing. That's Eben or
Okay.
Yeah, so and he's in the bear. And he's
we he started is, that by the way. We're dude, yeah, he's, episodes in.
He's the shitty cousin.
Oh, the one that's an asshole?
Yeah, he's a okay. fan. Dude, episode season two, episode called Spoons.
Yeah.
It's one of the best seasons or best episodes of television ever, probably.
We've been liking it. We've also been watching Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which is also great. So we're kind of we're bouncing back and forth.
I think we're starting that very soon. But yeah, there you go, dude. Yeah. That's a wow. – which, you know, especially with the 60 setting here, it makes even more sense to cast Pedro Pascal because he looks exactly like Burt Reynolds, who is exactly who would have been cast if this movie was made in the 70s. 100%.
Yep.
And the thing, I mean, it looks like yep. This is like official concept art. And
he does, yeah, he does have a good Burt Reynolds look.
He looks just like him.
Is like the only thing that I'm like, man, Vanessa Kirby looks 30 years younger than him, just out the box. You know what I mean? And that's
kind of how it is in the comics too, though. Yeah, I don't sure. think she looks yeah. that much young. I mean, she
looks like a younger person. Like Vanessa Kirby think so. Is, I think looks young.
I think she's very pretty, but if you've seen Mission Impossible, I thought, and some she's, this is, I'm not trying to, I know you haven't seen these, but the one I'm talking about, but she looks like she's in her late 30s, early 40s to me okay. in Mission Impossible movies.
She is 35 years old, so. But, yeah, but Pedro's well, like 55 or something.
Yeah. Hey, this 100% confirms it for me. This movie is going to be in the 60s, which is kind of what we always theorized. And they're going to time travel to modern day or multiverse to modern day. At the end
of it, maybe.
Something. Yeah. That's what's going to, it's going to be like the Jetsons kind of situation.
Do you think this is the movie that actually introduces our Dr. Doom?
I think at the very end, maybe. I don't think this, I think it's a tag. I don't think he's the bad guy. I think Galactus will be the bad guy in this.
Okay.
Or Silver Surfer, which everyone's
didn't we the already rumor get is, Galactus in Doctor Strange?
We've never seen Galactus.
Okay, who was the guy that
was Dormammu.
The planet? Okay.
He wasn't a planet, he was just
The planet eater.
He wasn't really a planet eater either. He was just like a dude. He was just like a he looked I could see why he could see that. Galactus is supposed to be just like this giant being. And Dormammu is supposed to be like a normal sized, basically otherworldly being, but they made him some like Ethereal giant headed thing in a different dimension in the movie for whatever reason. But yeah, no, hey, that's cool. That's cool. We broke that on the pod. So right there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Great casting and pretty excited. And they're going to give him the mustache too. This is official concept art, right? So
I would think so. Yeah.
And they made the thing look exactly like the thing, it's a drawing. He looks
more goofy and happy, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. He's the ever loving thing from Yancey Street. Is who he is.
Okay.
So anyway, Daniel, how can listeners write into us?
Listeners, wow, that was a little hot. Listeners, you can write into bit.ly/241mail and let us know what you thought of the Marvels. Or of Deadpool 3 trailer, or about the Fantastic Four casting that was just announced. Basically, this was kind of another MCU smorgasbord episode. So let us know your thoughts about the state of the MCU, where you think it's going, how they can fix this mess at bit.ly/241mail.
And if you can't hit us up at your bit.ly, you can always find us in the comment section below, youtube.com/241studios. Like Daniel said, hit us up about the Marvels, Deadpool 3, and now the Fantastic Four. I'll say this, Daniel. There's always something around the corner to bring me back in. And if anything's going to do it, it's going to be Deadpool 3 and Fantastic Four. So I'm excited.
I mean, if anything, it's Hugh Jackman Wolverine. You know, like that's...
He
transcended his movies that were hit and miss. You know what I mean? Like, it's so weird how he is, like, if you look at his list of movies, he's had maybe more misses as Wolverine than hits. Like, just, like, as a total package. Or at least, like, middle of the road, okay, it's okay as a movie. It's not great.
But you know he's never missed.
Exactly. He's never been bad. Exactly. And there's something crazy about that. And now the idea of him being in really good team-up movies, you know, you're just like, I mean, like, again, I mean, I think Deadpool Wolverine movie is amazing. I can't wait if we get a Deadpool Spider-Man movie, or, you know what I mean, all these other versions of it, or sorry, Wolverine Spider-Man movie. You know, like, yeah, like I said,
it's, wouldn't it be so cool to see Deadpool, Charlie Cox as Daredevil and Spider-Man together,
and Wolverine, and, or yeah, all sure. Yeah, I mean, yes, I mean, I think to me, Hugh Jackman is still one of the best castings in superhero media ever.
100%.
I mean, he's up there with Tony Stark and Chris Evans in their roles. It's just like, yeah, perfect cast. You could, there's not anyone that could have done it better. You know what I mean? And so
we didn't even talk about the silhouette in like the casino, which is it was Wolverine, right, sitting in the white tux, right, in the trailer.
Yes. Yeah.
That's he has a character called Patch. Wolverine does. It's like his undercover code name, and he has like an eye patch, and he wears a white tuxedo.
Gotcha.
In the comics, I guarantee you, that's gonna be like Daniel Radcliffe or some other variant actor.
Amazing. Yeah.
He's gonna turn around and it's gonna be Daniel Radcliffe or something like that.
Because he's a fan favorite. Yeah.
Well, like everyone kind of fan for whatever reason. Don't know why. They everyone fake
and hairy.
I guess so. They fan cast him, so I guarantee you, that's gonna be a very. There's gonna be tons of Wolverine variants.
I could never see Daniel Radcliffe doing it.
Me neither.
I actually think Daniel Radcliffe's a great actor, and I think
he's great.
In fact, his movies post Potter have been almost every decision he makes to cast to be in a movie is great, and he fits well.
He's like Robert Pattinson in the fact that he had this. You know, he was actually really good in Harry Potter versus Pattinson in Twilight. Kid.
Yeah,
sure, but I'm saying like he keeps doing these indie things that are just. You're just such a good, talented person.
Well, and especially with Harry Potter, so much of the time, good kid actors turn out to be horrible adult actors.
Sure.
Horrible. You know what I mean? And like Daniel Radcliffe's a very great example of it being kind of the opposite. Like he was good in the Harry Potter movies, but like he also didn't get like a crazy range to act through. And now that he's being in all these indie films, you know, he's like showing he's a really fantastic character actor, really. I would love that. That would be a really fun moment.
We'll see what happens. Anyway, my name is Donovan Thompson.
I am Daniel Wingfield.
And we have spoken.